All right. Well, tonight you have a little handout on your table, and then there's some other worksheets that we will talk about a little bit more. But this is our third week to think about personal finance, about what the Bible says about our use of money. And about a month ago, we started and just looked at the big picture overview of what the Bible says about money. We saw really God's role as the one who is the owner of all things and the provider of all things and the one who's in control of all things. And yet God entrusts to us money as a tool to use ultimately as a steward, honoring him in those ways. And then the last time we met, when I was gone, Jeff taught on debt, on how debt is an enslaving thing. It's something that is very common in our world and yet something to be very careful of. And he talked very practically about that and the desire to be careful in those ways and wise in that. And this week we want to focus primarily on budgeting. Now, some of you, I say that word and you're like, ah, and some of you, I say that word and you're like, awesome, I love thinking about this. And don't, either extreme is okay right now, we'll get there. But what I want us to see tonight is that one of the most important tools to help us be good stewards of God's money is a budget. Now, that doesn't mean it has to look the same. So don't be intimidated to think that your budget has to be done exactly the same way as someone else's budget. And if you've tried and failed 10 times, we'll try to step through some practical things that can help you to succeed. But according to a poll a couple years ago, about 32% of Americans had a detailed written or computerized household budget. About one in three had a real intentional spelled out plan of how they were going to use their money. Now, as we talked the first week, you can have a budget and you can do all the practical things and you can be doing them for all the wrong reasons and not honoring the Lord with your money. So a budget is not the end goal, but it is a very helpful tool towards honoring the Lord with our money and using it as a steward. You know, to be a steward is to be faithful, and that's what we want to talk about, how to have a budget or a plan of how you're going to spend whatever God has given you, how you're going to use those in a way that honors him. And why is that? Well, I want us to start tonight by thinking about the commitment to a budget. Why should we have a budget? Some of you are saying, we can skip that. I know it's important. We've tried and failed, or I know it's important. We do it regularly. Some of you may be saying, I don't know it's that big of a deal. But I think it's important for at least three reasons. The first there on your handout is to be a good steward of God's money. What's it mean to be a steward? What did we say a couple weeks ago? A steward is, it means we are to be a good steward, means to be what? This is where you talk and I listen. To be a good steward means, take care of it, faithful. Yeah, it means we're being careful and faithful in using what has been entrusted to us well. That implies in it giving thought to it and being careful in the choices that we're going to make about that thing. We saw in Luke 16:10, it says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted also with much. Whoever is dishonest with little is dishonest with much. If you've not been trustworthy or faithful in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? God expects us to use our worldly wealth, the funds, the money that we have, in a way that is faithful. And to do that means we got to think about how are we going to use these things. I think a budget is also helpful. Be there on your handout to avoid the enslavement of debt. And again, Jeff talked about this 2 weeks ago. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. You know, much debt, as Jeff talked about, comes simply from kind of ignorant spending. You know, many people using a credit card just spend a little here and spend a little there and spend a little here and spend a little there, and then they get the credit card statement and it's like, how did we spend that much? And it was just a little bit here, a little bit there, and no careful thought. And the result is now, we're in trouble because of that. Or sometimes we accumulate debt because of impulse spending. You know, you're walking through the store. You're at Home Depot, and you know you're going to get like a thing of nails that'll cost $2, and then you see a refrigerator, and you don't even know you need a refrigerator until you see the refrigerator, and then the guy comes and starts talking to you, and the next thing you know, he's telling you about the interest-free financing and how this refrigerator can be yours for only $42 a month, and the next thing you know, you have a refrigerator that you didn't know you needed, and you don't really know how you're going to pay for it, and yet you find yourself in that situation. Well, a budget or a spending plan helps you to avoid both of those things. The impulsive spending, that kind of ignorant spending of just doing whatever, and it also is a really important tool to escape from that debt. If you say, yeah, we've been there, that's where we are, a budget is a tool that helps you to be able to get out of that. It's a key component in being able to rid yourself of that enslavement to those kinds of debt that, again, Jeff talked about. A third reason I think it's really important and why we should be committed to it, see, is to promote harmony in your marriage. You know, so much conflict in marriage comes over money. You know, it's you bought what? and why did you think we could afford that? You know, what I've seen maybe in our life and in others is that for guys, usually that you bought what is a big thing, not as often. And for ladies, it tends to be lots of little things, but not always. It can vary the other way. But that conflict that comes from, oh, you thought we could afford that, or you bought something for you, and yet you are upset that I bought something for me. Why is that? And conflict, or just the stress that comes from how are we going to deal with the debt that we've accumulated, or how much are we going to give versus save, and the priorities that one has over the other. A budget is communicating ahead of time about those decisions. So that as a spouse, you're not sitting there staring at something in the store, wondering, ooh, how's my wife or my husband going to respond if I bring this home? Well, if you have a budget, you ought to know how they will respond if you bring it home, because either you've already agreed that, go for it, we've planned for those expenses, or you've agreed that, nope, we aren't going to do that right now. And so it's communication ahead of time to simplify those decisions and to lead to unity. We'll talk a little more about that and about the process in a minute. So it's important, I hope you see, that we are committed to a budget. What does that look like? Secondly, let's think about the components of a budget. What's involved in a budget? A budget involves two primary things. The first is understanding our income, the money that God has entrusted to us that is coming in. So this is the money that is at our disposal. The primary source of income is what? Yeah, it's work. You do work, somebody pays you for it. Could be salary, could be wages for an hourly job, but it's work. That's how God expects us to get money, and that's the normal way that God calls us to have money to spend in various ways. And in 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul says in verse 10, if anyone's not willing to work, he's not to eat either, because God expects us to work hard and to earn money in that way. Now, there are certainly times where we wish we could do that and we can't, either because of medical things or economic things. But the general rule is we are to work hard. And so if we want money to have income, the intent is that we are willing to work hard for that. And we're called to work hard with integrity. And God honors that, not always with increased finances, but with the ability to honor him in our labors. And 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul describes his desire in these ways. Verses 8 and 9, he says they were working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, not because we don't have the right, but to be a model for you. And he says they were doing so with labor and hardship, working hard. You guys, it's easy to just want the money and to not be willing to do the hard work for that. Now, again, that's balanced biblically by the need for rest and by other means that God can use. But the normal way God provides is through working hard and reaping the benefits from that. And so our budget, our spending plan, starts by understanding how much money is coming in. Now, for some of you, that's really regular and it's really easy and it's always the same amount on the same day of the month, and that's easy to know. For some of you, it's not. It may be that you get paid bi-weekly, and so some months you get paid more than others. It may be that you earn commissions or other things, and so that amount is varying widely what that is from month to month. But it starts by understanding what is that amount that is coming in. And we'll talk about some of those situations, and some of those you can talk more about even in your small group time. This should include any income from the husband and the wife. Many married couples come into marriage thinking about my money, not our money. And it's unifying and it's biblical to say, no, we are now one. And therefore, we don't think of my money and your money. We think of our money. It doesn't mean that you don't discuss how that gets used together, but thinking of all of that as income for your family. You can't have an effective spending plan without knowing how much you have to spend. That's where it starts. But it's primarily related to the second category, which are expenses. What are we spending? You'll see a worksheet, the first worksheet there that we'll talk a little more about, gives you a little column on the top part there that says gross income per month, salary, interest, dividends, other. That's the income side. And then everything else on there is related to what are we spending. And I think it's helpful to think of our expenses in two categories. I think to think of them first as what are our regular monthly expenses. So there are things that you as a family, and probably most families in this room, that every month you expect to spend money, to use the money that God's entrusted to you for these things every month. No matter what month it is, you're going to spend some money on these things. What are some regular monthly expenses that you can list there? And if you want to look at that sheet and pick some off there, you can. What are some regular things every month? This is going to be an expense that is relatively consistent. Food, yeah. Mortgage. You eat every month. You're paying on your house or your rent every month. Gas, you're probably going to drive relatively the same amount, maybe not, depending on long trips or those kinds of things. What else? Utilities, yeah. You're going to use water, electricity, trash. Your electric bill may vary a little bit depending on how hot it is, how cold it is, but it's expected every month. What else? Say that again. Yeah, giving, tithe. Thanks, Ryan. Waiting for that. Every month. Personal counsel later for Ryan. Just lighten the mood. That's good. We need that. Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, there could be other entertainment that you do on a regular basis in those ways. Yeah, those are easier to identify and to plan for. You know those are coming. That doesn't mean it's easy or that we're good at it. It just means those are easier to anticipate. And if you look at last month, you should be able to say, here's about what we will spend on those things this month. And you can plan for that. The more challenging things for your budget, I think are number two there, are irregular periodic expenses. What are things you may spend money on next month, but you may not? Car repairs. Your car may break, car may not break. House repair, medical bills, health care. Yeah, health care. Yep, people repair. Yeah, it's a good way to think of it, sort of. Yeah, other things? Yeah, house problems. So bad things that happen that you have to pay for. Some are good things that are maybe charged once a year. So that Amazon Prime subscription that, you know, shows up whatever time of the year, or a life insurance premium that comes once a year, or depending on how you pay your car insurance, maybe every 6 months or maybe a monthly expense or those things. A trip that you choose to take that it has some added expenses. Yes, which of those two categories do you think destroys people's budget more? Is it the regular stuff? It's that, oh man, we had groceries this month. That'll be. Is that what torpedoes our budget? No, it's all that irregular stuff that we hope doesn't happen. And we think, you know, maybe my car will just never break and it'll be awesome. And we can never have to pay for car. Well, guess what? It's going to, right? There's going to be those things. Some of them you know and they're coming. Some of them you don't. But if we don't account for those things within our budget, it's going to cause lots of problems and challenges for us. And we'll see how to do that a little more practically in just a little bit. Now, as you think of those expenses, this is one example of possible categories for a budget. If you have a budget, yours probably doesn't look exactly like this. And if you are going to have a budget, it may not look exactly like this. This is a fairly detailed number of categories for expenses. It's a good starting point if you haven't thought much about it. But you may be more general or less general than this budget, and that's okay. Now, I would suggest that it's helpful to be more specific than regular monthly expenses and irregular periodic expenses. But that would be the simplest budget I think you could probably have, and it may be useful. But I would suggest you go a little farther than that at least and start listing what are those regular categories. Again, you can do that in a way that makes sense for you and your spouse, you know, like something like toilet paper. Do you need a toilet paper budget? Well, if you think that way, great. But that may fit under a household budget. That may fit under, you know, a general stuff we buy at Walmart budget for life. It's not that you have the exact category that somebody else has. It's how do you think of that and how do you plan for that? Because you're going to buy that and you need to think about where that's coming from. So as we work on a budget, as we work towards thinking intentionally about using the resources God's given us, it starts by saying, how much income do we have? How much money is coming in? And how are we going to use that for the various expenditures that we have? Both regular things that are every month and planning for those things that will come up more periodically. So let's think third and mostly about the creation of a budget. How are we going to take this chart or something like it that's in categories that make more sense to you or that reflect more of what expenses you have as a family, how are we going to take this and add a bunch of numbers here that will make decisions for us about how we use our money? Well, I would suggest there are a number of principles that flow out of both the biblical principles of money and just some practical wisdom as it relates to this. The first one is that I think as we create a budget, it's really helpful to base that off of, first, the income that has been earned. Now, this seems pretty straightforward, that you are basing your budget off the income that you have earned. But for many of us, it's very easy to base our budget off of the income that we think we will earn. Now, that's maybe okay if you get regular salary on particular days of the month that you are planning based on the income you're going to earn, but I would suggest it's even better to plan based on the money that you already have earned, particularly if you have variable income. So if you have variable income, it becomes even more important that we are basing our budget for next month off of the money that we have earned this month. It's a great way to de-stress as well. Some of you get paid twice a month, and you're always wondering, can I pay this bill like March 12th, because the payday is not till March 15th. Do we have enough from the first half of the month for that? Well, if you are basing your budget for March off the money that came in February, you don't have to worry about that because you've got that money already and you're basing that budget off of that. I think that's a helpful thing. Again, if you get paid on the first of the month, that's fine. You know it's coming and it's there and you're basing it off of that. But particularly, again, if you have variable income, and you say, oh, it's probably going to be this amount that we make this month, and it's not, and you've already spent in that month based on what you expected to have, that's when you can get into problems and particularly end up in debt. So basing it off of the money that you have already earned. Now, this may take some time to get there because you may say, well, if we're saving this month's money for next month, what are we spending this month? Well, That's okay. You can work gradually towards that, but I think it's a huge help in most cases to say we're going to use the money that we make this month. We're just going to put it in our bank account, and then we're going to budget next month off of that. Again, we talk some more about that if you have questions. But secondly, and more importantly than that, we're going to base it off of God's priorities. What categories do you fill in first? You say, man, that entertainment budget is the one I really care about. And so let's fill in what we want for that first. And then, you know, my car, that's most important to me. And so we'll fill that one in next. And whatever's left, maybe we'll put a little bit of that in groceries and giving. How's that work? Probably not ideal, is it? No, we got to follow God's priorities and designate our money to the things that are important to Him first so that we can be reflecting what He desires as a faithful steward. So what are His priorities? Well, we've talked about some of these, and we'll talk about more of these in the coming weeks. But the first priority for us is providing your family's needs. You've probably heard 1 Timothy 5:8. It's speaking more of some extended family with widows, but it says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So our first priority as we get money is that God has given this to us to provide for the needs of our family. Now, what are the needs that we have? Well, he goes on in 1 Timothy 6:8, and he says, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. So what are your family's needs? Well, it's food and covering. What's that? Well, it's the food that you need to be sustained, and it's covering, clothes and shelter. And I think we could probably add in our day and age some mode of transportation because we live in a different kind of world than in the Bible times where if you want to get food, you have to be able to get somewhere to work and those kinds of things. But it's those basic needs. Now, if you were to ask your kids what are our family's basic needs, they might add things to that list. If you ask your wife what are our family's basic needs, they might add things to that list, or you might add things to that list. And again, there's a place for those things. God has blessed us and given us things to enjoy in the world around us, but those aren't our priority. Our priority is, if you have very little money, you say, we're gonna have food, and we're going to have covering, clothing, and shelter that God has called us to. Again, that doesn't mean it's our food that we have to have is steak and eating out all the time, or that our shelter and covering needs to be a 5-bedroom house with a game room, or that we need all of those things that we might want in those areas. But we prioritize how can we provide for those needs. A second priority is paying back debt. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. So the wicked borrow and they don't fulfill the commitment that they have made. And so once we have provided for the needs of our family, a second priority needs to be saying, what are the debts that we have accumulated? And we want to be faithful to strive to pay those back. God says this is important. Now, this should obviously make us wary of taking on debt. That if we're going to commit to that, we want to be very careful not to be enslaved by that. But if you have debt already, that becomes a priority. Again, some of that debt, as Jeff said, is I think the word he used was respectable debt, things like a mortgage that you may have for a long time, and you make that a priority. Again, that relates to the shelter and the covering that you're providing for your family. But there may be other debt that you say, man, I would really rather go on a vacation than pay back my credit card, and so let's just do that and we'll worry about it. No, God says you pay back your debt and you work towards being able to do some of the other things that you would desire. A third priority that we'll talk more about in April is giving to others. That proverb, or Psalm 37, says the wicked borrows and doesn't pay, but the righteous is what? Is gracious and gives. So our first thought, as we are meeting our family's needs and we are paying for the paying back what debt we have, is not to be, all right, we got all this left over, what can we do with it? But it's to be, how can we also be generous and see that others have what they need, both the poor and then those, how can we support the work that God is doing in the world? Now, you'll notice that I put this third. Some would maybe put this second and say we'd rather give than pay back our debt. But if you're giving, while you have debt, that is, you're not meeting those obligations, what are you really giving? You're giving somebody else's money. You don't have that money to give. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to have every debt paid off before you can give, but it means you need to be current on those things and working on those things before you are considering being able to be as generous as you would desire to be. And then a fourth priority that, again, we'll talk more about in April is saving for the future. Proverbs 21:20 says, "There is precious treasure in oil and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up." The wise has resources at their disposal. The foolish swallows them up all the time, and whatever they get is gone. So we need to focus our priorities on those things. Now, again, we're going to talk more about giving and saving. My goal tonight is not so much that you walk out of here with a budget that is firm and established. You say, this is exactly what we're going to do in all these areas, but that you have a general process for that budget. And then you are going to adjust it as you learn and think and grow and talk about these things with your spouse. So we don't approach the budget saying, how do we want to spend all this? We approach it saying, what are God's priorities and how has He entrusted this to us to use for His glory, taking into account these things? C for how we create our budget is it needs to be based off of past expenses. Now, at our first meeting a month ago on this topic, I encouraged you to begin tracking your spending if you don't do that. The reason for that is not just for fun because it's a lot of work. The reason for that is so that you can have a realistic expectation of how much you spend on particular things. It's really important to create a budget and really important if you're going to live under a budget. Because you could sit down if you had the opportunity tonight and you could fill in all of these categories and it would look great. And you could say, you know what, we want to give more. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut our food budget in half, and we'll give all that money, and it'll be great. Well, that's fun until you're a week into the month, and you have no more food money, and you can't eat. And now you say, maybe we won't do that. And so it's got to be realistic. And so looking at your past expenses, knowing what you have spent, gives you a starting point for what you will plan to spend in the future. Now, does that mean you have to keep that the same? No, if you spent $300 eating out last month, you can choose to say, we don't have to eat that much. We could be more frugal so that we can save or give or pay off debt or whatever it is that's a greater priority to us. But you do that knowing that means we've got to change some of our life decisions in order to do that. So based off of past expenses, you've got to say, this is what we've been spending, therefore these are the decisions we will make that will let us spend this amount in the future. And this means it's going to have to be somewhat flexible, at least for the first few months. I think one of the biggest reasons why people who have started budgeting stop is because they make a budget the first month and they try to live under it and it's a disaster, or at least it doesn't work. And so they instead of saying, okay, we need to keep massaging this to figure out what will work, they throw in the towel and they say, we're done. Who cares? We're just going to try to make it work. No. It's not going to work the first month. It's not going to be perfect. You will run out of money for something that you say, ooh, that didn't work out very well. And you're going to have to adjust and work on those things. But it's okay to do that. It's okay to be flexible as you learn what is realistic and what is appropriate for you. And in D, based off of expected expenses, you're making a monthly budget. You're not making a budget that is set in stone for the next 5 years. You're taking it, we'll talk more about this, a month at a time. So if you have something coming up this next month that you know is going to require more spending, you don't just say, well, man, we're going to blow that budget this month. No, you can increase it, but you have to take that from somewhere that you are making that decision. So as an example, you know, we have children who have birthdays mostly in June and July, and then one in December and one. So we expect to spend more on that in those months Christmas is another time of year where we expect to give more gifts to people. And so we can increase our gift budget in those times of the year. We can save more throughout the year. But we might say, you know what, we're not going to go out to eat as much, or we're not going to buy any new clothes this month so that we can do other things in that way. It's okay to vary your budget from month to month, provided you are still keeping the priorities and the main non-negotiable things in place. And then it's going to be based, lastly there, off of good communication. You're not budgeting for one. It's easier to budget for one. It's easier to say, hey, you know, and some of you may say, you know, that was great with a budget before I got married, and now I have to think with someone else about this. That's great. Now, it may be stressful. You may need somebody to help you think through some of those decisions and some outside counsel and input, and that's fine. But it's a great opportunity to communicate. Now, if you sit down, particularly like, say, one of you husbands gets really zealous about this and says, this is a great idea and we need to do this. And so you come back with your budget to your wife and you say, I've come up with a budget that you're going to abide by, and it's wonderful, and it allows us to do all the things that God has prioritized for us. And I've even got $200 a month for my entertainment and golf and those kinds of things. And she says, well, that's great. I'm so glad that you're leading our family in this way. And I just wish that maybe I could get a manicure once a month. And you say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't afford that. It's going to be a difficult thing to have buy-in from your spouse in that scenario. Now, none of you would do that. That's why I could use that example safely, hopefully. But if we're not communicating together about these things, we are still going to have conflict, and we're not going to live within our budget. If I tell Christy, hey, guess what? We've adjusted the budget so that whatever can happen. And you now have $200 of grocery money. She's going to say, yeah, right. And she's going to spend more than that. Not because she's trying to be rebellious, but just because it's not realistic to feed our family for that amount. And so if she's not contributing to that discussion, and if we're not thinking through those things together, we're not going to be unified saying, this is our budget and we're going to do this. So communicating together. Now, that may mean some give and take on priorities. It may mean saying, you know what, there's some things that are really important to my spouse that I didn't realize were that important, and we're going to try to figure out a way to make those things happen in our budget so I can love my spouse in that way. I think it can be very wise to plan for things you know you're going to spend anyway. Again, not that you can't change those habits, but if you said something like, we're never going to go out to eat and we're never going to buy anything fun for ourselves. Well, are you really going to do that? No. So you might as well not act like you're going to when you're sitting down trying to come up with this on paper. You might as well say, no, this is what's realistic. Now, you may have to cut back a lot. You may have to do that less. But plan for what you're going to do in those ways. So as you do those things, what's that look like? It means you take something like this or another tool that we'll talk about, and you come up with your income. Again, it may vary widely, so it may be we know this is how much money we made, and this is therefore that's the amount that our budget has to reflect. And you start with those priorities. You start with the necessities for your family. And you start with the obligations that you have, and you start with giving and with appropriate savings for the future. And then you get to the other stuff that's more negotiable. And you say, okay, this month, this is what that looks like because our income is this. Or on a regular basis, we know this is what our income is going to be, and we are going to strive for these amounts and those things. And you've looked at what you've spent in the past, or you've started to keep track of that, so you know it's relatively realistic that you can do that with those things. That's great. You now have a budget. Does that mean that you're good to go? It's a great first step. But now you have to do what? You have to live based on those things. If you get a budget and you put it away in a file cabinet and you say, woohoo, we did a budget. It's great. And you don't change how you spend in light of that, You've essentially wasted a lot of your time. And so what are fourthly, the challenges of a budget? You get it on paper. And my guess is some of you have gotten that far before, or maybe many times before, and you've struggled then from there. What are the challenges of actually living under this? Again, I'm assuming that you have talked about it with your spouse. You're at a point where you both say, yes, we are confident that reflects what God would desire for us as we seek to use the money that, God has given us. What are the challenges? Well, I think there's many, but two that are very common. The first is keeping track of current spending. For the first, I don't know how many years of our married life, we had a budget, and we tracked our expenses about twice a month. We would bring out all our receipts, and we would put them on the table, and we would get stressed and upset and angry as we saw all of our budgeted money disappear in the first 2 weeks of the month and wrestle with how are we going to survive the next part of the month. What was the problem? We did it twice a month. And so we were spending and having fun the first 2 weeks of the month and thinking, yeah, we got plenty of money for this and plenty of money for that and plenty of money for this. And then we'd pull up those receipts and we start adding it up. And it's like, ooh, this is a problem. And so we realized we got to figure out something. We got to know more often how much money we have spent out of those categories. Because it wasn't that we didn't care. It wasn't that we weren't trying. It was that we didn't know in the moment how much there was. And thankfully, we live in a day and age where there are lots of ways to do that. Now, one of them is what's often called the envelope system. Some of you may have done this, which is you have an envelope for that category, and so you can always see the cash that's in there, and you can know that, hey, if there's only half as much cash in there, that means we've got that much left, and we got a plan for that. That can be a very useful thing. Now, in our world, that is a little more difficult, because carrying around a bunch of envelopes with cash and having that between spouses, it's not essential that you do it that way. There are tools that basically take that same idea and let you keep track of those envelopes, if you will, electronically, so that you can still know how much is in that envelope, even though you've paid with your debit card or a credit card or whatever it is, it's coming out of that thing. So the first thing that is very helpful in keeping track is to make use of tools. Now, there's a bunch of things out there, and one of the things you can talk about in your small group is what works for you. The tool that I have found to be most helpful for our family is something called You Need a Budget, YNAB, and a few of you are smiling because we've talked about this before. But they've actually just changed it the first of the year to a new thing, and I haven't used the new thing, but my assumption is it's probably still good. But it's an app for my phone and my wife's phone where we can put in things that we're spending. And I am able to do that with more regularity because I'm by myself when I spend things and she's got kids. So they help her put it in, or I can check, you know, every couple of days and see if she's got receipts or anything and make sure that those are in. And it's a computer software that goes with it, so we can set our monthly budget. It shows up on our phone. When we go to the store, we can pull it up and say, ooh, how much money is left in whatever budget it is, and we can base our decisions about that on that. There are other programs similar to that. I know Dave Ramsey has one called Every Dollar that I haven't used. There's things like Mint and some others. Some, just to give you a little bit of the difference of some take things you spend and then they come into your budget and you have to assign them. Some let you do that as you are buying them. Either can work. You just have to be careful that you're not doing what I described for our family, which was a challenge, which is waiting too long to see where you are. And that's the second thing there. Make use of tools and stay relatively current. If you wait 2 weeks to figure out where you are on your budget, and unless you're just very much a frugal, don't like to spend money person, you will probably have spent more than you think you did by the time you add those things up. And so staying current and using tools to help you do that is very, very helpful. So it's not a consuming thing. I'm not suggesting that every night you need to spend 30 minutes with your spouse divulging all the money you spent that day and have it be this agonizing thing. No, just figure out an efficient way for you. And again, you can talk to me or others who have found things that work for them if you need ideas. But the second challenge, if you know how much money you have to spend and you're basing decisions on that and you're pacing yourself through the month in light of that, the second challenge is being content with what you can afford. You have to be willing to say we don't have money for that and we're okay with that. We decided in a neutral environment that this is what God would have us to spend on this, and now we're sitting there and it's staring us in the face. I'm longing for that Starbucks drink or whatever it is, and it's calling my name, and yet, oh, there's no money in that. And so I'm going to say, no, I'm going to be content with what I have. I'm going to choose that way. That appliance, that refrigerator is screaming my name, and the guy in the store comes up and says, well, you know, you can have that for only 42 payments of $75. And you look in your appliance budget, and you say, you know what, I don't have any money in my appliance budget, so I'm going to buy the nails I came for, which I can't afford, and I'm going to go home and get milk out of my refrigerator that works just fine. It makes those decisions for you, but you've got to be content. I've got to be content. Philippians 4:10 and following, familiar verse, Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that you've revived your concern for me. Verse 11, not that I speak from want, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means and to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. He says, if I have a lot, it's great. I'll use it for the glory of God. If I have very little, it's great. I'll use it for the glory of God and I'll be content. And he says in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Maybe you need to put eye black on and write that verse under your eyes when you go to the store, because that's more appropriate than it being on a football player's face, is to say, you know what, I can be content. And if you have a budget and you know that you are striving to use the resources God has given you in a way that honors him, it makes that contentment much easier. If you know we're sacrificing in certain areas so that we can be generous and give and support what God is doing, or if you know you're sacrificing in areas because you have five daughters and eventually they're going to get married and you would like to save a little bit of money so that you can buy a wedding cake for at least a couple of them, you know, that makes it easier. If you have a big picture vision of that, and if you're thankful for what God has given you, and you are appreciating what he's given, cultivating gratitude, not covetousness, that budget becomes a joy and a delight to say, we're thankful to be able to use this. Now, the one thing we didn't talk a lot about is those random expenses, but you will see those here on the budget sheet, things like maintenance. Now, again, we'll talk more about savings later on. It's great if you have some savings that you can draw from for some of those things, but you need to have a plan for building up for some of those things. So some of those things on here, such as housing maintenance, you will see automobile maintenance and repairs and replacement. How much do you need for that? Well, you can try to figure out, you know, based on past expenses, you can talk to other people. You can look online and say, see some things even of here's how old my car is and here's how much they would expect me to spend on maintenance. But over time, if you plan for that, you'll see I never have enough for any maintenance I have to do, or I'm doing good on these things. So that's how you don't just ignore that and say we don't have those things. You still put them in your budget, planning towards them, knowing that you may also at times have to pull from some savings in order to do that if it's a really big deal. All right? So how are we going to be careful to cultivate faithfulness as God's steward? We're going to make use of a budget. There's some discussion questions there that we'll split to our groups here in just a second, and I apologize for going a little long tonight as we've covered these things, but there's also some assignments that I would encourage you to do. Again, some of you are doing this, and keep at it. I hope you're encouraged and motivated to continue to evaluate your budget to see if there are things that you need to shift around and prioritize differently. For those of you who are just starting on this, what I would encourage you to do is to track your spending for the rest of March. If you can, try to go back for the last week or two, and if you've used a debit card or something, to look at those expenses. And what you have there is a 30-day diary. Again, you can do this in a variety of ways. This is one practical tool. And list out what you spent in all those categories for the rest of this month. Don't worry about making a budget yet until you have some idea of what those expenses are. And then take that, and number two there, create an initial budget for April. Use this sheet or something like it, and based off what you spent over March, and you might even go back and do that for February if possible, create a budget and say, this is what we expect to spend in the month of April based off of our past expenses and the income that either we've gotten in March or the income that we are sure will be coming in the month of April. And agree on a tool then for tracking that. Figure out what are we going to do as a couple in April to track our budget. Is it going to be a notebook? Is it that we come home at the end of the day and take things from an index card we've been carrying around in our wallet and say, this is what we spent? Is it going to be a tool like You Need a Budget or another online vehicle that will help us? What are we going to use? So if you're set up April 1st to have a budget that you're going to try to live in. And then what you're going to see for April is you're going to track that spending. You're going to adjust that budget based on what you found was unrealistic and realistic and what you were thinking about related to giving and savings as we study that in April and work towards a consistent budget that you can use going forward. Again, I think you will find this a great tool both for the health of your marriage and for dealing with debt and avoiding debt, and ultimately a tool to say, Lord, we're striving to be faithful with what you have entrusted to us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you do provide, and you provide generously. And Lord, you have blessed us immensely in our area, in our world, with resources far beyond what we deserve and what many enjoy. And you have given those things to us to be faithful, and I pray that we would do that, that we would enjoy the gifts you've given, that we would provide for our families, and that we would be generous and able to anticipate things in the future, and that we would be wise and faithful in those ways. And Lord, help us to be disciplined and content. Help us to just be committed together as couples to strive to live in a way that honors you in our finances, and might a budget be a helpful tool to that end. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen.